Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
God is so good. It's always so good to be in His presence. Worshiping with music is a wonderful thing, isn't it? We sang this morning, Holy Spirit, be present here in our midst. You're welcome here. And we do welcome the Holy Spirit. I thank Joel for praying for me. Occasionally, you know, we have a message in an ongoing series. We don't do this series, you know, one Sunday after the other. But this is the third message in this series called Urban Legends. And if you remember, Todd spoke about, not too long ago, God wants you happy. That's one of those legends. And again, Kelly visited us, and she kind of put Jeremiah 29:11. How many of you know that verse, you know, that God promises all these wonderful things, you know, for us? But she put it in context for us. So both of those messages can be found on our website. We have messages on podcasts, so if you have not ever listened to any of the messages, you can go back and listen to ones you liked or you'd like to hear again, or if you've never heard them, check it out. Urban Legends, you can just type it in there, and those two messages will pop up, and this one will too. I would just like to say to you that, as many pastors have, some of you are about to enter into a difficult season. Others of you are right in the middle of one. Anybody relate to this? And others of you are just coming out of a difficult season. Isn't that kind of the way life is? You know, that we have those three, you know, if we're not going through one now, we just thank God. Thank you, I just got out of one, Lord. But most of us, you know, that's how we experience life. Maybe, you know, you're in your family, you've got a lot of kids' activities going on right now. You know, spring's coming on and there's so much to do. Or you're starting a new job. Some of the students, you're taking exams. Difficult period, difficult season. Maybe you've lost a job and you're looking for a new job. Difficult season. You could be in a new stage of life. Maybe you've just had a baby. Maybe you're having a lot of work stress. You know, things aren't going on very well at work. Perhaps you've been going through a period of depression. Maybe you've got arthritis. And who's ever heard of fibromyalgia? You know, some people are suffering from fibromyalgia. You know, so there are lots of different things. Maybe you've lost a family member recently or a very dear friend. And, you know, you think, goodness gracious, I just can't take anymore. There is not one more thing that I can take. You know, so you might share with a brother or sister in Christ. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we can be pretty tactless, you know. And we can say things like, God won't give you more than you can handle. Have you ever heard that? Or maybe, you know, when God closes a door, he opens a window. You know, these are not biblical expressions. But we can say things like this, can't we? Because we want to be encouraging and you know. But God just did not say that. So we're going to deal with an urban legend today. God won't give you more than you can handle. Or will he? God never said that he wouldn't give you more than you can handle. I don't see that anywhere in the scriptures. It probably comes out of the misunderstanding of this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. In this context, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about temptation. And he says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. So, yes, the Lord is faithful, and he will help us when we are in temptation. He will help us. He will lead us. He will give us a way out. It's, of course, it's up to us to choose and to follow after that. But God never said that we're not going to have difficulties in life. As a matter of fact, the Lord said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will suffer. There will be things that don't go well. Actually, if we take a survey of the scriptures, we'll see lots of people. And when we read the Word of God, we see this. In the book of Judges, for example, Gideon. Gideon said, oh, I'm the weakest in my clan. I'm the least in my family. I don't have what it takes to do what you're wanting me to do, Lord. He just felt so inadequate. Have you ever felt inadequate? And then Moses, he was overwhelmed. Can you imagine the task that Moses had? He was overwhelmed. We read about it. We can identify with him because oftentimes we've been overwhelmed. Esther was afraid. She turned to the Lord and fasted and prayed, but she was afraid. David expressed, and you can see it up here in Psalm 38, verses 4 and 8. When he was caught in sin, and the sin caught him, was up to him, and he just could not face it anymore. And he said, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I'm exhausted. I'm completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. You know, even Jesus expressed deep distress. He said, and we see this quoted in Mark chapter 14, verses 33 and 34, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus himself, as he was preparing to go to the cross, we know one of the other gospel writers shares how he sweat drops of blood as he was in prayer, saying, Father, not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will be done. And so Jesus struggled. In fact, today, for those of you who are under weight and pressure in your life right now, and you feel like you just don't have what it takes, I want to show you two reasons why God will occasionally allow you to have more than you can handle. Yes, God will occasionally allow us to have more than we can handle. Why? Number one, why would he allow it? First of all, there are times when God wants to teach us to depend on his presence. We sang so much about God's presence today. We want the presence of the Lord, and the Lord is present here. The Lord wants us to depend on his presence. See, when things are going well, people tend to forget about God. Would you agree with me on that? We don't feel the urgent need for God. We just finished a series on stand from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And we said we need to be ready with the defensive and offensive weapons that he has for us at our disposal. But it's up to each one of us to pick them up and to depend on God to help us to use them effectively. The Israelites were close to God when they depended on him and when they called on him. He answered, and we see it as we read through the scriptures, how God provided for them. However, when they no longer needed him and they started going off worshiping other idols and other gods, you know, God had to send the prophets to them. Or he sent, you know, to talk to them, to bring them back. God is faithful. Look at the prophet Jonah. Jonah, he's a real example of that. He rebelled. God told him to do something, and what did he do? He turned his back, and he went the opposite direction. He went off to Tarshish instead of to Nineveh, not obeying what God wanted him to do. And what happened to Jonah? He kept going down and down and down. And what happened? He got thrown into the waters, we know, when there was a terrible storm as he was on that boat going to Tarshish. And there he was in the belly of a big fish. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. In my distress, he said, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. In my distress, he didn't say in my success. I don't think we ever call on the Lord when we're experiencing great success. When everything's going well, we don't call on the Lord. Maybe we should, so that he can be part of everything that happens in our lives. But he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. See, when life is hard, that's when we cry out to God. And we say, where are you, God? I need you, God. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never let the presence of a storm, any storm you're going through in life, cause you to doubt the presence of God, because Jesus said, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can count on what Jesus has said. What he says is true and holds. So call on him. I would rather be in a valley with the presence of the Lord than on a high mountaintop without him. How about you? Would you agree with me on that? The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. Psalm 145, verse 18. Let's call on him in truth. Let's come to the Lord just as we are. Call on him. As a fairly new believer, I went through a very difficult period of time. I had just come to the Lord and was growing in him. And my mother became very sick. We discovered that she had colon cancer. And she died 2 weeks after I heard this information. It was just an incredible time, a very difficult time, season in my life. But you know what? I cried out to God. I was desperate for him. And he was with me. I drew near to him, and I watched him take care of me through, and my brothers and my father and our whole family through various circumstances and with various people. The Lord does intervene when we call on him. See, we are created to need God. We are created to need God, to be in fellowship with him, to be desperate for him. How often have we told ourselves, I can do this. I can handle it. I can handle it in my own strength. See, the reason we hang on with our own strength is that in this world system, and what the enemy wants us to think, is that he wants to program us to believe the lie that God will never give you more than you can handle, Suzanne. God will never give you more than you can handle. And if he won't, then I must have the strength and the power on my own, right? But that's simply not true. Because we were not created to have all the power to do it ourselves. If we could handle every single circumstance, we'd never reach the end of our self-reliance. See, the Lord wants us to come to the end of ourselves so that we will depend upon him. He wants us to be desperate for him. He longs for that fellowship with us. The second reason why God would allow you to have more than you can handle is that when you recognize that God doesn't expect you to handle everything on your own and you're depending on his presence, you want his presence, that's when you experience his power. How many want the power of God in their lives? See, Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh. And the Bible tells us in that passage that Paul says, you know, he received, as it were, a messenger of Satan. Because Paul experienced glorious things. We don't really understand all that he says, that maybe he went up to a seventh heaven. You know, he was the apostle born, out, as it were, out of the season. But when I think of Paul, I also think of Job. And Job was a man of God. The enemy looked around and saw him and said, I'm going to go before the Lord and see if I can do something about this guy because he's just too faithful. He loves God too much. So I think Paul was in the same category. But in order to remain humble, Paul says, he received this thorn in the side. But he prayed. He prayed three times. He pleaded. He had three seasons of pleading with God. He probably got a whole prayer team together, you know, to pray with him and to intercede and to fast. Don't we do that? God wants us to do that. And yes, God does heal and he does deliver. But here, he could have delivered Paul, but he didn't. But what did the Lord say to Paul? You know, Job and Paul, they were messengers of the Lord. And so messengers of Satan were sent to try to harm. But God ultimately prevails in Paul's life and in Job's life by displaying his power when they submit to the sufficiency of God's grace. They didn't try to do it on their own. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, we read, "But he said to me," this is God's answer to Paul's prayer after seasons of prayer, "my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Is God's grace sufficient for us? Yes. When we are weak, he is strong, and his power is made manifest. How is his power made manifest in our lives? Christ's power comes to us today in the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Lord, your glory, that's what we long for. We want to be overcome by your presence, Lord. We sang it this morning. See, the Holy Spirit is the other helper. He's the advocate. He's the comforter. He's the paraclete, the one who comes alongside. Do you know that you are never, ever alone? If you believe in Jesus Christ, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God is in you. You are a child of the living God. Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth. It's better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Can you just imagine? He's sitting with his disciples and they can't understand. Of course they couldn't understand. We see everything in retrospect. But Jesus is saying, it's better that I go away. And they couldn't imagine not being there with him. But he said, if I go away, I will send another who is just like me. But what's amazing is that another one who is just like him is there for each one of us. Jesus is no longer limited by his physical body. But thank God he became one of us because he understands everything we're going through. Jesus did leave us physically. He overcame sin. He overcame death. His body is not on this earth. It did not become corrupt. He rose again. He is alive. And he is here today with us. Do you believe that? He is here. We are gathered here in his name. He is here today. Jesus left us physically, but he sent the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. He went back to the Father. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you fully welcomed the person of the Holy Spirit into your life? That you may know his power working within you, helping you in your weakness, in your moments of temptation, praying and interceding for you. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes in verses 26 and 27, see, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how we should pray. How many times have you been in a situation like that where you just don't know how to pray? The Holy Spirit helps you. But the Spirit himself intercedes even for us with inexpressible groanings. And he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes on behalf of the saints according to God's will. The Holy Spirit will always intercede for you according to God's will. I'm going to put up a slide here. They're going to put up a slide now with two different kinds of boats. One of them is a rowboat, and one of them is a sailing boat. Are you rowing today, or are you sailing? That's my question. See, some of you are exerting all kinds of energy. You're just knocking yourself out. You're rowing your own boat. You're living your own life. You're going. You're going. Maybe you don't even know the direction you're going in. Maybe you do know. But it's not the right direction. Why not put up the sail and invite the Holy Spirit to direct your boat by his power and strength? We say, I have to be strong. I have to be strong. Actually, the Lord wants us to be weak. Until God is all you have, you'll never realize that he's all you need. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion. And we're going to respond today to this message. You know, the Lord says, yeah, sometimes I give you more than you can handle. Why? Because I want you to know my presence. I want you to hunger for my presence. And I also want you to experience my power. We're going to, as the ushers are now preparing the communion elements, they are going to prepare them and distribute them to us. I just want you to know today that we have an open communion in our assembly. You don't have to be a member of this church. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are welcome to participate. Jesus instituted this ordinance for us, and he says, every time you do it in remembrance of me. But you know what? I want to challenge you today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you have not yet given your life to him, you can participate with us. You can make today your day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus says, come. Come follow me. I invite you to follow the Lord. And then afterwards, you can come and say, Suzanne, I want to talk to you. I gave my heart to Jesus today as I was participating in the Lord's Supper. I want to invite you to participate in this Lord's Supper. As the elements are being passed and the team is going to play a song, I just want you to think a little bit. Are you rowing or are you sailing? Let's just meditate for a few minutes on what we've heard, and then I'll come back.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.